Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Personality is not ego run amok. As everybody playing their part,
and being due diligent. Although personalities come forth, when we're talking about a study, the essential part of these studies, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We try to help the people have a paradigm shift. Stop seeing the study of the Most High as a religion, but see the Most High as the creator of the universe with nations that he are peculiar by, especially the nation of Israel and Yehuda. And to help you get codified in your studies, because in our study, we realize that everything in life is codified. And so be that as it may, because everything in life is codified, you have to follow a code in your relationship with the Creator and with one another. Nothing is left for chance and a happenstance. So we're not selling personality cuts on the Real Talk, Real People Show. That's what you're here for. If you're here for Yom Suf, forget about it. If you're here for Cartrell, forget about it. If you're here for Sister Yehudi, forget about it. If you're here for Abiyah, forget about it. This ain't what this is about. This is about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and everybody plays a part, no matter how significant that part is or insignificant. That's what this is about. That's what it was designed to be about, and that's what it will be about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So you may be wondering, also, Yom Suf, who are you making reference to, the we? Well, let me get back to what we're saying, as far as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub is concerned, and bless and praise his holy name. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned while crossing every T and dotting every I, because we want you to get it. It's not about us. It's about him, and it's about this nation. And we strongly advise and suggest to you to go to the site about nation building. YahWillGather.us. Go to that site. You'll understand what nation building is all about. Excuse me. And also, let's get back to what you may be asking. Yom Suf. Well, we have Sister Abiyah. She is from New York City. Sister Abiyah has not been studying the Most High long, but as long as she's been studying, she seems to gather it more quickly than some. That is not about an individual pursuit of things, but it's about a national pursuit of things. And most important, it's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. She has become quite adept at her codification process, because that's what it's all about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and the codification process. And she's done a good job keeping us on point, or trying to. Sometimes it's like herding cats. But that being said, she tries to do the best she can with what she had. And she's very important to the Real Talk for Real People show. And she has great comments from time to time. So Shehudi, from Detroit, Michigan. So Shehudi has been studying the Most High for 35 years plus. She has become quite adept at using the Most High word as her template by her experience and her observation and making the right application when doing so. And she's good at it, just like you ought to be good at it. Now, Cartrell is from New York City also. Cartrell, based upon his experience and observation, most importantly, his application of the study of the Word of Yah. He's come quite adept at doing so, also make the right application. Cartrell, when he was 14 years old, let me give you some examples. Cartrell, when he was 14 years old, feeling some sort of way, just like most of us young teenagers feeling, all out of whack and so on and so forth. Thinking he had all the sense in the world, just like most teenagers. Thought, well, I'm tired of this. It ain't working for me. It's working on me. Most High caught his coattail. No, Katria, you don't know what you're talking about. You ain't been here long enough. By way, Katria went to the Psalms by the urging of the Most High. And Katria applied the Most High word in his life, and he found out he didn't know everything. He wasn't ready to get out of here. And praise and bless the Most High for giving him that wisdom and understanding. Also, when Cottrell got into his work, a young man trying to take care of his family, Cottrell, in his work as a carpenter, didn't realize he had to do heights. He thought it was a two-bedroom house or something like that. Come to find out, Cottrell, bubble was burst. He found out he had to do heights, and he found out heights didn't like him, and he didn't like heights. There again, he went to the Most High in prayer. It was a Psalms. The writings of King Dawid, Korah brothers, and Asaph, and so on and so forth. By utilization and application of the Most High Word, Cottrell found the strength and the courage and the fortitude to do his job. Every morning, Cottrell would utilize the word of Yah. He would get up every morning and pray for the strength and the courage and the fortitude to do those heights. And he did them. Every day after he got up, he thanked the Most High. And you can too if you know the code. Praise and bless the Most High. Therefore, let me introduce it. Sister Abby, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praises and glory to Yah. And may he bless us all. And Yah, may he give you a double blessing for having this platform and letting everybody come together. So I come to say, Todah and shalom.
Thank you very much, Sister Abby. Praise and bless the Most High for your extra blessing. It's very appreciative. And that's kind of you. Thank you very much. Now, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Hello.
Yes, same to you in his name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Another beautiful day. And even with all the problems going on in the world, hopefully we can inspire us as one person. We've done our job. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister. Good to have you back. Cottrell. Thank you. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How you doing tonight? Good to hear your voices. Yeah, bless
good
you.
To you.
Keep you.
Bless you.
Yes.
Yes.
We need Yah now more than ever. Trust me. Like you said, what's going on in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, it's good to be back to listen to the words of the Most High, our founding fathers, our kings, to refresh our spirits and our souls, to know that we got hope.
Exactly.
In the midst of all the madness.
In the midst of all the madness. Thank you, Cottrell. Very appreciative, brother. Praise God and bless his holy name. Well, if y'all ready to get busy, I certainly am. But I know the Most High wants you to know these things. Ezekiel chapter 12, shall we? Yehuda's captivity portrayed a description of that captivity. Praise God and bless his holy name. May he direct and order our steps so that we don't lean to our own understanding and give us a right heart like King Dawid to be able to accept this and apply it in our lives, because application is far better than just study in itself. Chapter 12. Now the word of Yah came to me, Ezekiel saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. Well, these folks are something else, said the Most High. They are rebellious, which has eyes, they have eyes to see, but does not see. Ears to hear, but does not hear. Why? For they are a rebellious house. Therefore, Ezekiel, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity. I want you to put on an example, like a little play. And go into captivity by day in their sight. Put on this little ditty, this little play. And you shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight, as if you were going into captivity. It may be that they will consider, though, they are rebellious. Reason why I'm putting on this little play with you, that they will consider, though they are rebellious people. I love them, though. By day, you shall bring out your belongings in their full sight, as though going into captivity. And in the evening, you shall go in their sight, like those who go into captivity. I want you to dig through the wall in their sight and carry your belongings out through it in their sight. and you shall bear them on your shoulders, your belongings, and carry them out. At twilight, you shall cover your face so that they cannot see the ground, so that you cannot see the ground. For I made you a sign, this is a sign, this little play have you put on before them, a sign to the house of Israel. So Ezekiel, as we all should be doing, I did as I was commanded. I brought out my belongings by day as though going into captivity, and at evening I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight, and I bore them on my shoulder in that sight. And in the morning, the word of the Elohim came to me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you? This is what they said to you after you put on your little play before them. What are you doing? Said to them, thus say Yah Elohim, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. So I'm assigned to you. This little play, I'm assigned to you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall bear his belonging on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. He won't enjoy it, but he'll die there. He won't enjoy the good city of Babylon and the land of the Chaldeans, but he'll die there. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him to help him, and I'm going to undermine all his help, all of his troops. I will draw out a sword after them. Then they shall know that I am the Elohim. When I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries, but I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go, then and now. Then they shall know that I am the Elohim. Yah's judgment not postponed. Because why? We kept doing what we're doing, expecting different results. Unfortunately, just like now. Moreover, the word of the Elohim came to me, Ezekiel saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. I said to the people of the land, thus say Yah Elohim to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with anxiety, and certainly they did, and now, and drink their water with dread. Don't go to Flint Mission. So that her land may be emptied of all who are in it. Why? Because of the vows of all those who dwell in it. They are violent people. We have become violent. And certainly in this captivity, we're the same people. But we don't gather ourselves together to love, encourage, and support. We try to gather together, and we can't gather together under those guidelines without the Most High. See, the way we gather together is to cuss, fuss, argue, and fight, and sometimes kill. Because it's not codified the way we are gathering together. But if you're going on the codification mechanism, it's calling on the Most High to forgive our ancestors, calling on us to forgive us, the continuum, gather ourselves together and doing what we can, how we can, or whenever we can for one another. Those are guidelines. But simply get together to eat a pork chop sandwich and have drinking and drugging and prostitution, that is not gathering oneself together, which leads to the flashing of yellow, blue and white lights and the fluttering of yellow tapes. You can only gather yourself under the mechanism of the guidelines. But gathering yourself just for the sake of gathering yourself together, but that the Most High being the mechanism for that gathering only leads to arguing, fussing, and fighting, and sometimes killing, because we have been, as we, our fathers and mothers have become violent, we are the poster children for violence in this captivity. He says, because of the violence of all those who dwell in it, then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and certainly it has, in so many regards. And you shall know that I am the Elohim. The word of the Elohim came to me, Ezekiel saying, son of man. Now, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel? Y'all got this little ditty y'all got going on, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails. We got long days waiting on these visions and they all fail. Tell them, therefore, thus said Yah Elohim, I will lay this proverb out. Ain't going to be no, we're waiting on these visions and they all fail. That's OB. You stop saying that, little ditty. I will lay this proverb to rest. And they shall no more use it, and we don't use it no more in Israel, nor anywhere else for that matter. But say to them, the day are at hand in the fulfillment of every vision, what I said. For no more shall there be any false visions or flattering divinations within the house of Israel, the whole tribes. For I am Elohim. I'm going to prove it to y'all. Ain't going to be, hey, we just saying this stuff. It never passes. Prolonged days, the vision never comes anyway. So none of that. I'm going to show you what I'm working with. For I am Yah. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. I gave you postponed, and you took advantage. You made little ditties about it. You took advantage of a situation of my tolerance and my love for you. But instead of you changing, you made little ditties about it. But no more of this. No more postponement, for in your days, O rebellious house, us as a nation. I will say the word, and before it says Yah Elohim. After the word of Yah came to me, Ezekiel speaking, son of man, look, the house of Israel is seeing, the vision that it sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of time far off. Therefore, said to them, Yah says to Ezekiel, thus say Yah Elohim, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says Yah Elohim. See, we try to take advantage. We always try to take advantage of a good thing. Instead of them being appreciative of those visions far off and they seem to fail, and they made a little, we always got some smart things to say. And even that, them smart things we said, at the final knowledge didn't work for us the least bit. Yah was showing his love and compassion, his long suffering, to give them opportunity, ample opportunity to get it right. Instead of getting it right, we already got something snazzy and jazzy to say. But the Most High said, Yah didn't accept my, in so many words, by virtue of his action. But Yah didn't accept this. Oh, y'all gonna get smart and get snazzy and jazz. That ain't cute. I'm gonna show y'all something. From here on out, what I said gonna happen is gonna happen quick, fast, and a hurry. See, we need to take advantage of the opportunity that the Most High. These happen to our fathers and mothers in ancient times. And see, we need to take the example of what happened and then stop being snazzy and jazzy and take the Most High long suffering and love for us and get it right as soon as possible. Because you can see what happened to them. Now, come on now. You can see what happened to them. Do you want that to happen to us? All that old cute, snazzy, and jazzy talk. Stop with all that. Go to yahwehgather.us. Find out who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing. As a matter of fact, before you do that, we strongly advise you that you go to the Most High in prayer right now. Oh, you ain't got to pray right now in front of us. But when you get off the show, go to the Most High. Ask the Most High for a new heart like King Darwin. Ask the Most High to give your ancestors for being snazzy and jazzy and making a little ditty conversation when it was something serious. And ask the Most High to forgive us, for we think we cute too. And ask the Most High to bring us back home. Ask the Most High to gather us together. Ask the Most High to help us do what we can, how we can, whenever we can, howsoever we can for one another. It's not without that old smart conversation. It didn't get our ancestors nowhere, and it's certainly not going to get you anywhere. Praise and bless the Most High name. Cartrell, Sister Hootie, and Sister Avia, y'all have the mics.
Well, it's been said, like he said, there shall be no more any vain vision, because if you look out here now, you seeing as what he said, what y'all have said is happening even now, so you can't go backwards. You've got to keep moving forward. He said it all.
Praise y'all. This chapter does say a lot, and Yamsuk did say it all. We have the same characteristics as our ancient fathers, and Yah, he always lines them out. He says, son of man, so you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, and we have not changed. Who have eyes to see, but don't see. We have eyes today, and we can see the signs that the Most High is putting out there, but do we really see the signs that the Most High is putting out there? We have ears to hear, right? Our people don't want to hear what Yang got to say. We've been trying on this show for like the last, how long you been on this show now? Like 2013? Okay. We have ears, but we don't want to hear. And he reiterates it again, for they are a rebellious house. We have to change that. Quick, fast, and hurry. Because we have the mindset of thinking that the words of Yah, oh, that's like, you know, that's not going to happen to us. That's, you know, some future generation. And no, the Most High said, I'm going to bring this judgment right on top of your head. So we have an order, and Yah has given us an order. And I don't know if y'all know who Ezekiel was portraying when he dug through this wall and put this sack on his back as if he was escaping captivity. Y'all know who he was portraying?
Who was
the prince? Who was he portraying?
The prince. You know who the prince is?
I said the prince, didn't I? Because that's what I was going to read. And the prince who is in their midst.
Who's that? The prince in our midst that they're talking about is King Zedekiah.
Mm-hmm.
They consider him a prince because his brother, King Jehoiakim, was in captivity right there along with Ezekiel, the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got to know the order of our nation. Because all of our anointed, they in dire straits. The king, King Jehoiakim, he's anointed. I don't know if King Zedekiah is anointed, but he's commissioned to be king of the Judites that's left in the land, right? So we have two prophets on the scene. We have Ezekiel, the prophet, and Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah, the prophet, is in Jerusalem talking to King Zedekiah. But King Zedekiah ain't listening to the prophet Jeremiah. While Ezekiel the prophet is in Babylon's captivity, and he sees what's going on in Jerusalem through the visions that we just read in the previous chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about Messiah, we talk about Christ, we talk about Mashiach. And at this point in time in our history, we had four of them, two kings and two priests at least. Ezekiel is a priest, which means he had to be anointed, and Jeremiah is a priest, which means he had to be anointed. And you could throw King Jehoiakim in there. I don't know if King Zedekiah was anointed, but I know King Jehoiakim, being the line of King David, was anointed. And I say that to say, the Most High had four anointed, or at least three anointed, in our midst, right? Most High had four messiahs, four anointed, in our midst, and our people didn't pay any attention to them at all. We cry for a Messiah. But when we had Messiahs in our midst, which are anointed men, the priest and the king, our people turned a deaf ear to them. How ironic. And another thing, do you know that the Babylonians are our ancestors?
Oh, okay. I never thought of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I will spread my net on him, and he will be taken away in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. Who comes from Chaldea? Didn't Abraham come from the city of Ur of Chaldea?
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't Yahshua get up and leave his father's house?
Mm-hmm.
So the Babylonians are our family.
Yeah, they are ancestors.
They are ancestors. Most High sent us back to Papa's house, the Chaldeans, because our father Abraham comes from Ur, city of Ur of Chaldea, right?
That's why Nebuchadnezzar was so obedient.
That's why he was merciful to the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was so keened in to what the Most High was saying as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you see an order within our nation, which our people probably, they look at the book as a religious book. God is talking to the Son of Man, and y'all all in church now. No, you got to perceive the order of the nation. You got two messiahs, Ezekiel, the priest, who's anointed. He's talking to the people, trying to get them straight, but they're hard-headed, stiff-necked, they're rebellious. They have eyes, and they can't see, and ears, and they refuse to hear. That's us, straight up. And I say that to say, the Most High could have a Messiah right in our midst, and guess what would happen to him?
Hang up, do all kinds of stuff.
The Most High would say, this is the Messiah you were looking for, and what would our people do? Nah, this ain't the Negro we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to tell you. Got to know the history and the pattern of our people and our relationship to the Most High. So we say a lot of stuff. We talk loud, but we ain't saying nothing. You try to come up with a poem to say that Yah's word is going to take a long time. It's not going to affect us. Okay, you go ahead with your words. What does Yah say? That's all we have to know. What does Yah say? And that
isn't
alone.
Excuse me for interrupting. Isn't that what he said at the end? When he said, therefore say to them, thus saith the Master Yah, none of my words are deferred any longer. When I speak a word, it is done, declares Yah.
And doesn't that say a mouthful? The fact that Yah does defer his word?
Mm-hmm.
Him deferring his word shows his mercy and his loving kindness. Because he can bring his judgment down in a split moment.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would be caught unawares, right?
But they were like they are now, Patriel. They didn't think it was going to happen right away. Defer means put off. And he did.
Right.
He said, my words are deferred any longer. None of my words. Oh,
which means?
In other words, it's happening now. It's
which
happening
means he put it off.
Right.
He said, I will not defer them any longer, which means he was deferring them. Wasn't he?
Right.
Which means that once he says, I'm not going to defer them any longer, his word is unleashed. And once he unleashed it, it's going to accomplish the mission that he sent it out to do.
That's it.
And it's not going to come back void. Huh?
When you get a punishment, I talked earlier to some elders, and I said, if people just look at if we had parents or guardians, when we got in trouble, I'm going to whoop you now, not just wait. Well, similar, but, they're not going to do nothing. Boom, boom, boom. Yep, got ran down the street with a belt. So he's not playing. Just think our creator and maker. He's no joke.
And he gives you fair warning. He had two prophets on his team, Ezekiel and Jeremiah. It's funny how he put Ezekiel through the things that he put him through. He's play acting what King Zedekiah is going through. We read how King Zedekiah went through the wall to try to run, and King Nebuchadnezzar caught him anyway and put his eyes out. That's what Ezekiel was saying out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And he would die
and
in the land of Babylon.
The people were wondering, what are you doing? Ezekiel knew. I'm showing you what's going to happen to King Zedekiah because y'all think that he's going to be set up there forever
mm-hmm.
and that Jerusalem is not going to be taken. But I'm going to show you what y'all are showing me is what's going to happen in the
right.
near future.
Godriel, that's an
yes,
excellent,
sir. Yes, sir.
That's an excellent observation that, you know, with him putting the turban around his eyes were gone. Excellent
yes.
observation. Great job.
Just like King Zedekiah put his eyes out after Yah killed his
mm-hmm.
son. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Terrible. The last thing you see is your son's getting slaughtered, and then they put your eyes out. Yah wasn't playing with us, was he?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Yah would say, I'm delaying my word. I'm not going to delay my word any longer. You want to get with Yah's word right now while the getting is good. Because once he pulled back, that mercy, there's no escape.
Now, I was just about to say the same thing that Brother Contreras said.
Okay.
That's all I was getting ready to say. Contreras let it out. That's all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And one thing Contreras has shared that, you know, the play was given to the nation at large there. And it's about nation. It wasn't one about simply about the king's actions or whatnot. And the little play that Ezekiel put on is about what would happen. And the king was the primary subject matter. But what happens as a nation? The king was the primary subject matter. But the effect it had on everybody, the ill effect this captivity had on everybody. So we all need one another, whether we realize it or not. And so one concept you got to keep in mind, because we always, all of us, our ancient ancestors, mothers and fathers, used to say that little ditty. You know, like y'all said, that's what y'all just talk. Well, he's saying it, but it ain't going to never happen. Don't even worry about it. We something special. Well, certainly they were something special, not like they thought they was. Special comes to the Most High Word, and that's something serious. And it's about national. It's not simply about the king portrayal. But the portrayal was about the king and the nation in the end result and not taking Yah as something, as a genie in a lamp. Yah is something serious. Praise and bless his holy name. Thank you, Cartrell.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this.
I also want to share with you.
Hmm?
Verse 15.
Okay.
They shall know that I am Yah. When? When I disperse them among the nations. Ain't that where we at right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Which means that we should know that Yah is Yah, because we are dispersed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And scattered them through the countries. But I will leave them a few men of them from the sword, which we are. From famine, he saved us from the sword, and from pestilence, that they may declare what? What we have to declare? All their abominations amongst the nations where they come, which is Ima Hadorah's greatest cry. Israel, you need to cry out about what we've done, what our ancient fathers have done, that then they will know that I am Yah. We're supposed to know that we Yah because all these things have happened to us. He wasn't talking to that generation that Ezekiel's talking to. He's talking verse 15 to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15 is for us. 15 through 16 is a message to us. We know that you are Yah because we are dispersed and scattered amongst the nations, and we are left but a few men from the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and we are declaring all our abominations in the midst of these nations, and they're laughing at us. But we know that you are Yah.
Well, what you said and what Yah Tzu brought me in mind, when he took our ancestors out of Egypt or Mitzrayim, it was a period of time. It didn't happen like in a few days. It appeared it happened for a length of time. I can't predict how long, but not like weeks or months. It happened And I'm thinking, coincides today, when he was telling, well, I saw the article, somewhere in Nebraska, I think, or somewhere where the sky was green, and how I noticed they're pushing here, and I'm quite sure elsewhere, free food. And I'm thinking, something's going on. I know what's going on, but I'm, you know, I'm saying, like, something's going on. Talking about today. And people are just going about their business. It doesn't seem like you could feel it. The spiritual thing, it's a war going on. Go ahead. Something I said maybe spark that thought.
So what I was trying to convey is that there's an echo effect. Our ancestors didn't know that this was going to happen to them. They think it's going to be some, you know, future event. You know, they didn't feel it. We feeling it,
mm-hmm.
which is why we have to apologize because they didn't know. Now we know what y'all said is true. Y'all said, y'all don't think that my word is true. I'm going to unleash it. And he unleashed it on them and on us. So now we look back and say, oh, wow, our fathers spoke too soon or they spoke too much out of their mouth and caused us to be in a situation because we're scattered amongst the nations. And what do we have to do? We have to acknowledge all the abominations, which is why we have to study our history. What did our kings do? What did our ancient fathers do to get us in this predicament? And once we connect with our roots and you understand what happened to us, then you know that Yah is Yah. That's how you know he's God, because you know his word and what he said is true. They couldn't see it, but guess what? We see it, and we have no excuse. But are we going to be rebellious? We have eyes that don't see and ears that don't want to hear. Y'all say, y'all better break out that pattern because when I unleash my word, it's going to carry out what it intends to do. So he's giving us time. His mercy is on us, and we have to do our due diligence now while the time is right.
Right. Hallelujah.
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 Great point. Great point.
Wonderful.
So all your Israelites that don't want to gather and cry out and repent and acknowledge our sins like Ima Hadoras calling out for next year, September 16th, I think it is, then you playing the fool. You're playing the fool. Yah says it right here. He says that they may declare all the abominations among the nations where they come. We have to do that. Then we will know, once we do that, that I'm Yah. Maybe he'll come to us. Maybe he'll lift his countenance upon us. Maybe he'll wash us clean and be close to us as he was with our fathers in the days of old. And we won't be drinking our water quaking, eating our bread with trembling and fear, right?
Right.
Well, God, you said a mouthful right there, because that's going to be my closing song for you. Everybody plays the fool.
Sometimes. All the time.
And Sister Hootie and Sister, I better stop playing the fool and stop trying to make a joke about the light of things. Like, y'all ain't coming. And we hear that all the time, Cartier, Sister Hootie and Sister Avia. He ain't coming. We ain't got it. We keep doing what we're doing. Keep up at it. That's not good advice to take. Okay?
What he just said, there's a lot of people saying, well, the scriptures say that, you know, like you say, they saying Yah's not coming. They just said messing something out. You're not supposed to do nothing, but like they supposed to just sit and wait for Yah to come and that's going to be it. No, you got to put in the work. You got to do Yah's work. That's why we here.
Avia, you said a mouthful, and that was wonderful. And they certainly have to, Avia.
This is why we have to study this book, because we just read, what he told us to do. We have to declare all of our abominations in the nations where we're scattered, right? Somebody got to do it. If Israel don't want to do it, we got to step up and do it. Like the flag raising. People were telling us we shouldn't raise the flag. Who gave you authority to raise the flag? Yah told us to raise the flag. What are you talking about?
That's all the story we need.
And we raised the flag pre-2019 or on 2019, commemorating the 400 years.
Yeah.
And guess what? Babylon has changed since then, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Things ain't quite the same, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Not unless you're trying to save Babylon. If you're trying to save Babylon, it got bad. If you're not trying to save it, it's just a course of business, course of action.
And Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, because this Babylon ain't our ancient fathers. They ain't the child being. They ain't in a world of trouble. This place is in a world of trouble.
You better believe it.
And they don't rely on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob either. They don't call on God. They call on their experts.
And their great white hope, Donald J. Trump.
So now they got a new variant to the Omicron virus.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All the vaccines that they've been taking and the booster shots and the triple boosters, they say ain't none of that good for this new strain. That ain't crazy. Come on now.
Yeah, and they said this one is easier to spread.
With the monkeypox.
Yeah.
And you know what, Sister Abiyah, Sister Hudi and Cartrail? And the Most High said, don't place your trust in men. Yet they do it anyway every day. And we're falling in pursuit. And there's no answers in man hand when it comes to Yah's pestilence, famine, nor sword. It's true.
That's it. He said it was all going to happen, and it's happening. The pestilence, all that is upon us. So, like he said, there's no sense of trying to, for them to be listening to no man out here. I already know where my trust lies.
And what did it say, Sister Abiyah, Sister Yehudi? What did it say, Cartrail? It said they have eyes but can't see, and ears
and
can't hear.
None of these experts out here are leading the people to their creator, are they?
No.
They see dollar signs. They ain't gonna need to tell you nothing about no Yah. They what they praise is money. That's it.
Right.
And they don't care about the people that are losing their lives. How many people lost their lives in the coronavirus when it first came out?
Millions.
They never took a moment of silence or took a day of prayer to ask the Most High for help, did they?
No.
Not one day.
They rely on their quack doctors. They reap what they sow. And we're reaping it right along with them because some of our total reliance, eyes that can't see and our ears can't hear, our total reliance is on their quack doctors also.
And I know, Yamsel, you talk a lot about universal white racist supremacy.
Right.
Are you following these January 6th hearings? People better be on alert.
Yeah.
People better be on the alert because they turning loose these skinheads, Nazis, Proud Boys, Oak Boys, 3%ers, what's the other? Backstreet Boys. Come on now.
I haven't really been keeping up with the news. I've been taking a break. But today I said, I'ma see what's going on with the hearing. So I came back in home and came upstairs, relaxed and everything, turned the TV on because it was supposed to start at 12, but I see they was running late. So I sat, just relaxed and waiting for them to start. When it started, do you know we had an outage and everything went off? Yeah, and it just came back on. And
wow.
I said, now that the show is on, look at this mess. I said, then they're going to turn the TV on. But also, look how much it is. All day long, the TV and the internet was down. And I couldn't see the hearing. And then as soon as the show come on, I see the TV flashing back on. I said, isn't this something?
I saw when they, it was two men who testified today. Both of them defected. They first was into it, and the story that was told, the way I was observing it, see, they were disgruntled with the government. One of them, a woman, had a family, a wife, etc. Now he was Trump. And now he said he sees the light. But he had said, I can't remember which one it was, but said, this election coming up is going to be something to see. It might be some unrest.
That's what he said. There might be some unrest. Let me tell you,
yes.
Sister.
Mm-hmm. And I'm there.
Right. Judy and Sister Avion Cartrell, that's the reason why I talk about universal right, race supremacy, because it ain't dead. And they're both sides of the same coin. They can get in and out whenever they want to. They can become disgruntled and get out of it for a minute. They can jump right back into it. So I'm not surprised they get on national TV and they'll talk about, I'm disgruntled. I ain't with it now. But if the opportunity presents itself, get right back into it. And they've been doing this for 402 years in county. And so they're there. And then the politicians are far worse because they're the worst kind of universe. They lie to you every day of the week and say, I'm not. But they're right with the same program. And you can see by virtue of their actions that they're right with the same program. But they'll say they're not, but they're right with it. What is the guy look like, a turtle? The Ninja Turtle guy from Kentucky?
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Moscow Mitch.
Yeah, Moscow Mitch, Ninja Turtle lookalike. And they still, and then the fellow from Virginia, what's his name? He always voting against anything that does anything for us. Yeah. And then the little gay woman.
Joe Manchin.
Right, and the little gay woman from Arizona, cinema. So they're both sides the same. You got the crazies on one side, and you got those in suits think they're smarter than everybody else. But they all work together, okay? That's why they hadn't got rid of universal right, red supremacy in this country, because they're part of it one way or another, and it's universally spread. America has been the greatest exporter of universal white race supremacy. It went there with their arms over there in World War II, telling the English, don't fool with them. The French, don't fool with them. They fighting for y'all, but we got to get them back here, get them in line. Because if that ain't universal white race supremacy, I don't know what is.
Well, the politicians are fanning the flame, in particular Donald Trump, which is why you have a brother jogging in a neighborhood and two crackers come out in a pickup truck, chase the brother down like they law enforcement officers, and shoot the brother unarmed for no reason at all. These people are emboldened to do these type of things because of what the politician, their leaders, are doing. They're fanning the flames of their hatred and racism and whatever, you know, is their mindset.
Brother Ahmaud Arbery and Cartrell is not lying, and I said this about him because I said they're the fourth kingdom. They are the fourth kingdom. They run everything financially, wise, education-wise, sex-wise, war-wise. They run everything. And if they can lie, you be using lame excuse. No, Young Su, you wrong. They got countries over there in Africa. Yeah, they got countries, but they don't run them. They do what universal white race supremacy is telling them to do. And if they don't do it, they're going to have some problems. They told them to accept gayism. And now they're accepting gayism. It was criminalized in some of these countries. Now some of these countries want to be condescending to universal white race supremacy. They done bagged off that. So who else can do that but universal white race supremacy?
And the Most High has delayed judgment on them, hasn't he?
Exactly.
He's deferred his word on them. So we have time to get ourselves together. Once I said, flee from Babylon, learn none of her ways. Now people are so caught up that they may never escape. But we know the escape route. We know the escape path. Yah's given us the way. He always shows us the hope for our nation, for our people. And our people have to take full advantage while they're getting this good. Can't wait like our ancient fathers, thinking that the Most High is a long way off, because the Most High said, I'm not going to defer my word anymore.
I'll say this in closing. I realize what's going on, I just report the news and I look at it deeper. Personally, I don't have nothing against Trump. Supposedly pick up stuff. Because I said, who all on this phone got a stimulus check from? I didn't give you nothing. Mm-hmm. Not as president.
Me.
But that's not. But wait a minute. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's a historian of what. And even my grandmother, I say with my grandmother with a fourth grade education. That's white folks living. Don't be afraid. Stand up, believe in your God, know who he is, observe. But don't be no something they do to create is fighting among each other. The Irish, the Italians. We know it's like elsewhere. And we know it's two that are fighting against one another. We know it's going to be disruptive. When I saw it, I looked at it like, oh, okay. It was not ammunition that was there, but they were carrying bombs. They was ready to bomb. I was like, oh, okay. So it's nothing new under the sun when it comes to people who one of the guys that was in journalism, he said once they start talking about hate and the way that they were doing it, he stepped out. I thought it was this. But we know the game. We know how it's played. Only thing I wish our people would stand up and help one another because of it. That's my thing that I pray for. That we as people stand up and love one another through all this that's going on. But like I said, people going on about their business. Like you said, they like, ain't nothing going to happen. That's how they feel. I go, okay.
Well, you know, Yehudi.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, Yehudi.
Go ahead. Yes.
You know what I say about that? They're blind and can't see.
There you
and
go.
They cannot hear. So, here's the deal. They don't know what universal white race supremacy is and how it works. And because they don't know what universal, which is the four kingdoms. It works because it knows no borders. Those guys will fight each other all day long next week. But let you get out of pocket. They'll stop fighting and tear your behind up, then get back to fighting. And how it works. That leaves them totally confused.
That's been through history. That has been through history, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Because you need to know your enemy and how he works. Otherwise, you're totally confused about everything. And you don't know how to counter that by virtue of prayer and what you're praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to know what you're praying for and the Most High to take care of these enemies, but you got to know how these enemies operate and so on and so forth so you can counteract their operations just like Queen Esther did and Mordecai. They knew how their enemies worked, and they counteract that work by virtue of their prayer and their dedication and support, as you said, Sister Judy, and their love and commitment to one another. You have to love and be committed to one another, and you got to know by virtue of your enemy's action how to counter that action by prayer to the Most High. And Mordecai and Queen Esther certainly did. They worked together, and they worked together as a nation for a nation's sake and for a nation's best. You have to learn what nation is, learn how to work for what nation's best. Is. No, we should be overly concerned about our enemies, but we certainly should know who our enemies is. And because Mordecai and Queen Esther directed their attention toward the corporates that were at large, not only that prime minister, but his family, and those that were in the land that had the tension against us, just like his folks, and these lands, universally speaking, white race supremacy, we ought to know how they're thinking, not because we want to be like them, but to know how to counteract their action by virtue of our prayers and whatnot.
But like you said, I'll say this in closing. I don't want to forget my thoughts. He said, well, how we are back then and are we today, we go after other people, other nations, other deities, other gods. gave us up to that, because we go after that, and that's what we're doing today.
Which way did the white folk go?
Instead going to each other.
You mentioned Mordecai and Queen Esther.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the threat that they were facing.
Right.
It's no small thing, the threat that they were facing, because they were facing genocide from Haman.
Right.
And they had to connect, not physically or mentally, to try to rise up and overthrow Haman and the king.
No.
The first thing they did was turn to their spiritual powers.
Exactly.
Now, people haven't learned to do that because we're not connected to the Most High like we should be. Because
exactly.
He is the one that fights our battles for us, as is the case like he did for Queen Esther and Mordecai.
Right.
They take get an army and go against Haman and get the mighty men and rile them up and tell them to sharpen their swords. First thing they did, no, we got to fast, we got to pray, we got to connect with our Creator. Same thing King David would have did.
Right.
What do
and
we
the
do?
And what did the Most High do, Katriel? He led the people in the direction by the efforts of Mordecai and Queen Esther as to what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, physically, as far as that is concerned. But like you said, Katriel, and I concur 150%, you got to connect with the Most High first. You got to connect with one another. You got to connect with one. Most importantly, you got to connect with Yah. Then you have to connect and communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Most High will lead you in the right directions.
And our enemies of today, I know you speak strongly against them, and our people might cringe when you speak in those terms, but they speak like this behind closed doors when we're not around. So
right.
That's why you have these neo-Nazi skinhead Ku Klux Klan armed to the teeth, ready to go to war, a race war, a civil war, whatever you want to call it, because the civil war was about race, right? That's what the civil war is about. So when they code these words, you got to understand what they're talking about. And the Most High calls them our oppressors, our enemies. And we can't soft-shoe it. We can't tiptoe through it because they're actually killing us on a daily basis.
And the war,
and
Cartrell, the war has never ceased. There's been an abatement.
Oh, no.
And there's been not a taking to the field. They want to take to the field, okay? They want to take to the battlefields. The war has ever been ongoing as far as their mistreatment, abuse, and domination, and sometimes killing us. It's been an abatement. Right. So the war never stopped. Ever since our shore, feet hit these shores, buck naked and chained. The war has never ceased against us. There's been a law in the fight, and there's never been a poor taking to the field. They want to take to the battlefield again. They want another so-called civil war where they sit in the battlefield, sip tea, and slap each other with gloves. Okay? If that's so civil, why is so many white boys and brothers dead on those battlefields if they were so-called civil? They always try to rewrite the narrative and make things sound pretty. That was a brutal war that many of white boys and white men died, and many brothers died in their war, and they called it civil as they were sitting on the battlefield. I said there, let those darkies go. I slapped you with my handkerchief. There was nothing civil about that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they always, you know, they get scared. They always, just like they try to every time a white boy goes into a schoolhouse or into a so-called church, he's got mental illness. It's always trying to rewrite the narrative. No, he crazy as hell, and he killed them innocent children. He killed them old folks in Top Stove. He was wicked as hell, okay? But they always try to rewrite the narrative as if he's got mental illness. We got to attack the mental illness.
Yeah.
All y'all crazy as hell, truth be told, okay? So I'm not buying the narrative, just like this Civil War thing. I said there, let those darkies go. I slapped you with my handkerchief. Come on, man, stop. See it for what it is. Stop. See it for God sees it. I was talking to my stepson today. I was telling him about the sanctuary cities. That man shouldn't shed man's blood. Even if it's innocent, he has to run to a sanctuary city in our land and then go before a court. Then once the court decided it was innocent, it was not by you did any vile thing, you got to stay in this city till the high priest died. It may be next year. It may be 20 years. He may never die while you live, but you can't go nowhere. And if you deliberately kill somebody, the shedding of innocent blood, and you ran to a sanctuary city, you won't be there long. Them headbutts going to be right out waiting on you.
Don't forget, young dude, if it was by accident, they have to pay some restitution.
Yeah, but they still got to stay in that city, Sister Hootie. They still got to stay in that city. Yeah. And see, that's why the Most High, Sister Hootie, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, 150%. That's why we had guidelines. In war, if the nation went to war, that was a different situation. But the shedding of blood, innocent or inadvertently, or not deliberately, was not taken light by the Most High. But this land of the guns, I call it, this daughter of Babylon, the land of the guns, they could care little. And I don't know why they're so concerned. Now, I believe not taking a child's life as far as abortion is concerned. But I don't know what they're concerned about it for, because I guess they want more us here to hunt down and kill, because they really don't care nothing about it once they get here. So they just want them here. No, I know why they want them here, y'all, because they women are more prone to get in, do abortions. So they want to control their women, and they got to keep them little white boys and white girls coming. So I understand.
Yes, let me give you a quick narrative that actually happened. A few weeks ago, not too long ago, young man shot a police officer, both color, Israel. You call him Israel.
Okay.
They trade a gun, a Deco, a Draco, I can't. It's an automatic. I don't know the name. I can't pronounce it.
Right.
To a young man that bought the gun. He was old enough.
Right.
And they're charging him, but they're not charging the man who sold the gun to the man that gave it to the teenager that shot the police. You get me? He's Caucasian.
Okay.
The gun check.
Was the guy legal? Well, okay, was the young man legal that bought the gun originally? Was he legal to buy the
That's
gun?
I'm going to go explain it. The 21-year-old was legal. But he gave it to a 19-year-old, sold it to a 19-year-old that shot, murdered a police officer.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Did the 21-year-old, did he have this by design, by intent to do this, buy this weaponry, and then sell the weaponry? Did he know this?
Well, wait a minute. Listen to the scenario. What I'm looking at, it's all kind of look the way to look at it. Go ahead. Hold your question. Don't forget. They didn't charge the Caucasian man who sold the gun. You see what I'm saying? They didn't charge him.
But how could they tell it? He wouldn't know if this guy was legitimate. He came across a young fellow and bought a weapon. Now, the guy that sold the weapon, you got to do a King Solomon on this. The guy didn't know this guy's intent. He thought he was just selling something to somebody, although he was a Caucasian. It doesn't matter, because this guy really didn't know what this guy's ill intent was. So I can't see how they're going to charge this guy, because he didn't know what this guy was up to. Now, if he had wind of the matter and he was cognizant of the matter, I can see them charging the white boy. But the white boy wasn't cognizant, so I can't justify charging him, but I could justify charging the other two. I could justify the guy buying the weaponry with the ill intent to sell it to somebody he didn't know what he was going to do with it, but it could kill somebody. I could see them two charged, but I can't see the white boy. Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yes, you know what? Because this is the racism. This is the power thing. I see. That's why I said I see deeper. They are trying. This is what they're saying. I'm not. You know, we're trying to get these automatics. Why would you sell somebody an automatic gun? They're not going hunting. What is it for? You get what I'm saying?
But my thing, Judy, they're legal. Huh? They're legal in the daughter of Babylon. So, I mean, I would talk about universal white race supremacy when it's called for the talk. But I can't put the boogeyman on everybody, because what part we play in it? Didn't nobody make that guy go buy the gun from the white boy, okay? And didn't nobody make him sell it to somebody that had ill intent? So I will utilize white race supremacy when it's called for. But to use the white man on every level for thy actions are concerned, I can't use him like that.
Well,
okay.
I have, you know what? I see the structure of our government, of the government, it ain't my government, of the government,
mm-hmm.
is to keep them in power, and they're going to pass laws. I don't disagree with you, but
right.
they're going to pass laws that prevent anyone that's not like them to get ahead with anything. They'll bitch about, use my language, what need not to be done. But they'll go ahead and do it and justify it. That's my point. That's just an example.
You know,
I'm not saying Go ahead.
Sister Julia, I was going to ask, when they charged the one that did the shooting, did they make the excuse and say he was mentally challenged?
The scenario is when this officer.
No, I know what you were saying, but I was still wondering when they charged the Israel for shooting the cop, did they make an excuse for him that he was mentally challenged like they do for their own kind? That's all I'm saying.
No, they shot him.
Okay, see, that's what I mean.
The 19-year-old. Yeah, they retaliated because he shot a cop, so they immediately shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, Sister Julia, I agree with you a lot on what you're saying, and Sister Avia. But here's the deal. We're in the daughter of Babylon. They got all kind of laws. They got a warehouse full of laws. And most of them laws is protect them against us and vice versa. And it really ain't protecting us against them. And the bottom line, when we in somebody else's land, we got to ask ourselves, what part are we playing this? Because you know they got these laws for this. So what part we continue doing the same thing, Sister Yehudi, and Sister Avion Cartrell, we keep doing the same. We keep falling in the same trap, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different
results. And expect different results. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to change.
Yeah.
We got to start our people over and over, love our people, do for our people continuously. And I'm staying out of wisdom now.
Right.
Love each other.
And you're
that's
right.
our power.
And you're right. And you're right. You're right, right, right. Because of the fact, Most High said, get away from them. And what part of that they don't seem understand? But we like to jump right into it, hook, line, and sinker. Which way do white folk go? Where they moving at?
Mm-hmm.
Where they get their water? Where they get their food? Where they get their guns? Everything. Instead of doing what the Most High commands of us, get you away from them. What part of that they don't seem to understand? Because it ain't going to work for you. It's going to work on you. I said never. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Hootie. Thank you, Sister Avion. Thank you, Cartrell. Cartrell, if you all talked out about Ezekiel chapter 12, we all talked out too. You ready for a beautiful song of King David or Aesop or Korah brothers or so on and so forth?
Yeah,
anybody, give me a song. Give me a song.
A song by a king. Another one. Another one, King David, all right?
Thank you.
And his songs you got to pay attention to because he was a mighty man, wasn't he?
Exactly.
Close to the Most High, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say, I'm strong as King David. Like, you know you're not, brother. No, my strength comes from the same place King David's come from. That's what I meant, all
right? Right.
So where he got his strength from, that's where I get my strength from. I may not be as strong as King David, but my strength is strong enough for me because Yah delivers me as he delivers our king in trials and tribulations through all his troubles. How many troubles did Yah say he's going to save us out?
All.
All. A-L-L. Not some, not many, but all. So King David applies this. Hallelujah. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. We thank him for the blessings of our king and his wisdom. And songs, king that made songs. How many kings we had that made songs? Not too many.
Only one I know. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
King Solomon.
He must. King Dawid. He must have been an amazing brother.
Oh, that's so.
Sing songs and everything. Knock out giants and everything.
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 Yeah.
My soul rests in Yah alone. Who does your soul rest in? And he ain't talking about his life. He's talking about his soul. He always talks about his soul, doesn't he? What's the soul connected with? My soul rests in Yah alone. My salvation is from him. Everybody in church needs to read this verse right here. Psalms 52, verse 1. Where does your salvation come from? Don't say it comes from his son. His soul rests in Yah alone, and his salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. Wow. That's a triple threat. My rock, my salvation, and my fortress. How are you going to deal with that? I will never be greatly shaken. No matter if you're Philistine, Canaanite, giant, King Saul, doesn't matter. I'll never be greatly shaken. Because Yah is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. How long will you assault the man? How long are you going to chase me and try to beat me down? Put all of you throw him down like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence. That's what you want to do to me. They fully intend to throw him down from his lofty place. They delight in lies. Oh, we know people that delight in lies, don't we?
You see them every day on the news.
Oh, yeah. They delight in it. They bless with their mouth. Oh, yeah, that's that flattery. But inside, they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for Yah alone. Who you waiting for? My expectations from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. That must be the melody to the song. My rock, my salvation, and my fortress.
Audrey, yes, sir. You asked the question, who are you waiting for? I tell you, yeah. Who was some of them waiting for? Which way did the white folk go? That's the problem. That's their problem, okay?
Well, a lot of people are waiting on a Messiah, right, which means anointed. We see Ezekiel was anointed, but the people wasn't waiting for him. Jeremiah was anointed, but they wasn't waiting for him. Matter of fact, they was trying to help them. They was trying to save them, but they had eyes and didn't see and ears and didn't hear. So what's going to happen when the Most High reinstills his Messiahs, because there's more than one? Are you going to listen to them? Are you going to obey their command from Yah? Or are you too arrogant? Can't tell me nothing. King David said, Yah alone. Yah alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. I will not be shaken. And you can't be shaken if Yah is your rock, your salvation, and your fortress. Can you really be shaken if you got all that?
Nope.
Can't be shaken. How you shaking? You got all that. My salvation. That's the fourth time he's talked about salvation. And my honor is with Yah, the rock of my strength. Where does King David get his strength from? Why was he so strong? Why was he a mighty man? Because Yah was the rock of his strength. And my refuge is in Yah. Who's your refuge in?
It's so ain't the universal right, race, supreme. It's so ain't America.
Because people taking refuge in America. People taking refuge in false gods and deities. Trust in him. Trust in who? Trust in Yah at all times. You people, get it in your head. Get it inside you. What you supposed to do at all times?
Trust in the Most High. L-O-M.
And if you don't, you're letting your guards down, aren't you?
You're
not trusting in Yah at all times. You're letting your guards down. You're letting your guard down too. Pour out your heart before him, which is what King David does all the time. Yah is a refuge for us. He's declaring it. This is why I love King David. This message is not just for him. He's letting us know the secrets to his strength and what will save us.
Here's what I like about this part, Carter. It reminds me of what you said. Yah is like spinach to Popeye for us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody messed with Popeye when he ate that spinach, did they?
Yep.
Not even Big Bad Bluto. Big Bad Bluto. Big Bad Bluto.
Nope.
Surely men of low degree are just a breath. And that's how people look at us. Oh, you're just men of low degree. Y'all ain't got that. They're just dirty, bum Negroes, men of low degree. We just a breath. That's all we are. And men of high degree are a lie. Oh, yeah, we see that. But men of high degree, they be lying. And the balances, they will go up. It doesn't matter if you lowly, you high. And the balances, you're going to go up to the judgment. They are together, lighter than the breath. Don't trust in oppression, you oppressors. It's not going to last for long. Don't become vain in robbery. Yeah, y'all robbed everybody of everything. You continue to rob everybody of everything. Don't trust in it. If riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Yah has spoken once. Twice I've heard this, that power belongs to Yah, Donald Trump.
Hallelujah.
Also to you, Yah, belongs loving kindness. And that's what we're in the midst of right now on the earth. All mankind is in the midst of Yah's loving kindness. Because if
Great
he was
job.
To unleash his judgment, trust me, we will all be shaken. For you reward every man, how many men? Every man according to his work. So don't worry about it. Whatever I did, it's going to come down on me. Whatever Yahshu did, when he made his amends with Yah, it's going to come down on him. And that's for every man. It says every man. I can't worry about you. You can't worry about me. I must worry about me and my connection with Yah. And that's what I do. Why? Because he's my salvation. He's my fortress. He's my rock. And he's my refuge.
Praise
Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, sisters, Cartrell did a wonderful job. I don't think you have too much commentary. But if you do, we're all ears.
Oh, this is Papa for the nation. I mean, spinach for the nation of Israel right here. Spiritual spinach.
Yes.
If you know what that, you know what I mean.
Well, I have some spinach every day.
The last verse when he said, and kindness is yours, oh yeah, for you reward each one according to his work. And that's when Aviyah said it, you got to put the work. You know scripture, girl, you got to put the work in it.
And the Most High is saying in this, I mean, King David is saying, no matter how big your britches get, you're just a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High is looking for the contrite heart because we're all just breath. We all make mistakes. We all dust. We all human beings. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody plays the fool sometimes.
Sometimes.
But you got to change. And you got to have a contrite heart.
Happened to me. If I didn't have the dwelling spirit, I call it the Most High and striving. This man got very indignant under the circumstances when I went down to pick up my package. And I looked at him and I said, bless you, brother. I did not know, you know, like that. He calmed down a little bit, but, you know, they always got to have something to say. I didn't make no comment. I left it alone. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to be quiet. But then there's times you should speak up, too. But that wasn't the time for me to say anything. Not anything negative or shoot back. Sometimes it's not wise to shoot back. And there's a way, and I'm thinking about Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all these prophets and what they had to go through. This is nothing. This is our problem is our mouth. We have to, even one young man disrespected where he cussed out Ema royally and then hung up, called her a bunch of names, and I said, then you know what you're doing is right. Because if a person thinks they're right in what they know, they're going, what did the Most High say? I think it was in Jeremiah we read, let us reason together. It was in Isaiah. He said, let us reason. They wouldn't even reason with the Most High. Can you human? You go back to dust. So that had helped me to understand why I argue. And you can have the last word because you know what? It's not, don't, like Yamsu said, it don't mean nothing. Just our pride may be wounded. But what's pride? All is vanity.
I just said vanity.
Yeah.
So you have to be like the prophet. Ezekiel said it. He said they have eyes and don't see, ears and don't hear. They are a rebellious people. So you have to know what you're dealing with.
Right. That's why I just looked, said, bless you, brother, and kept on moving. And he did it.
But you know what? Mr. Hootie, you know, I always try to live right, like what you were saying. But what I always constantly keep saying to myself is, listen, Yah forgave you for your mistake, so I must learn how to forgive others for their mistakes, regardless what they do to me or not. That's between them and God. But I must learn, just like God, Yah forgave me, I'll do the same thing. Then Yah loves me, so I must learn how to love all people. All of us have to learn how to love. Yah have brought me out of trouble by giving me a blessing. And therefore, I have to be able to share that blessing with my friends, my people also. Mm-hmm. Everything that Yah does for me, I would love to do for my people. That's where I try and pass on righteous path. I think, what would Yah do? What did Yah do for me when I did that, when I lied or made a mistake and did something else? Or if I, you know, belittle somebody, what would Yah do? So that's how I try and keep myself straight.
But that being said, if Yah forgive you and you continually doing the same thing over and over again, I mean, there's at least, and if a person that have done something to you, Sister Avia, there's leeway for that, because you can't continue to allow people do the same thing. Oh, and they keep coming back telling them, I'm sorry, but you still got a knife in my hand. Oh. Yeah.
Well,
and another thing, Sister Hootie and Sister Avia, the word King Dawah uses refugee. And we're all refugees in this land, universal captivity. And we have to see ourselves as refugees, and our strength and salvation is in the Most High. And it can't be in that system. It can't be in that educational system. It can't be in that healthcare system. It can't be in that housing system. Because they have warehouses of lies and mistreatment and abuse of us. So our reliance can't be on our oppressors. Our reliance must be on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yahweh. That's why we continue to find ourselves in the same situation. And I had to reiterate that, and it sounds redundant to say the same thing over and over again, because we're doing the same thing over again. Every 2 years, every 4 years, Black Lives Matter, hands up, don't shoot. What about the education? What about the health? What about the sex? You already got us 5, 6, 7 sexes. Now you got another one next week. Instead of having what the Most High says about sex, we allow them to dictate with us what sex is. Now, homosexuality and lesbianism was a crime at one time. It was considered a mental illness. Now, everybody marching in the parade. But I'm going to tell them this, in homosexual land, don't expect Yom Suk to be marching in no parades, which can carry the Most High flag. So don't expect me. I'm not down with that. Okay, so I don't need my oppressors to tell me about sex. Yah told me about sex. I don't need my oppressors to tell me about health care. Our priests were our doctors. We would go to our priests. Our priests would give us the remedy. That's why we got a whole lot of problem now. Going taking all these pills. I got a pill for this, a pill for that, a pill to go to sleep, a pill to wake up. And on the side issue, well, don't take too many of them. It may cause your liver cancer. It may cause you to go blind in one eye. You may be knock-kneed in the morning. And yet we keep running.
Solutions.
I'm making light of it, but it's true.
No, it's just the way you say stuff. But I get what you're saying, but that's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about dealing with our own people.
Right,
well, okay.
That's what I was saying, too.
Well, Sister Yehudi, take this for instance. And we just spoke about it earlier in the beginning of the study show. They talk about this COVID-19 situation. They already took about 8 shots and they got 8 more for you. They don't know what next week going to call for. So if you're going to continue to put your trust in these people, and the Most High said, let me be your strength. Let me be your rock. And you will keep running to these people for solutions. You're totally confused about everything. You're blind, you can't see, and you can't hear nothing. So I don't take issue when they say, Yom Su, he don't know what he's talking about. Old nigga need to sit down. Well, I may be your old nigga, but I ain't your old nigga because I don't even know what that is. Okay? So you can say, because I ain't mad at you. Because this is what I do know. You're blind, you can't see, and you can't hear. And you ain't mad at me. You mad at the Elohim. You mad at Yah. And so that's who you need to take it up with. Because as far as Yom Suf is concerned, as far as me telling you the truth is concerned, if you don't want to see, you don't want to hear, I don't take it personally. It don't matter because it don't mean nothing to me. I'm going to do my part. Now, brother, you choose. I'm gonna go which way the white folk go. After 402 years in counting, and they use women. They use our women for health care for as her private area is concerned. Lies. And that's who you're going to run to? They use our women to practice on. And you think I'm the bad guy because I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you like Scarface said, well, they got to be a bad guy, why not me? Because if I'm telling you the truth, I'm going to be the mad guy. If I'm getting you upset because I'm telling the truth, well, I'm going to be the mad guy. If I'm not going to lie on you, mistreat you, abuse you, I'm going to be the bad guy. But look who really is the bad guy, who got warehouses of lies, been telling you lies for 402 years in county, and you still eat it up. So I guess I'm going to be the bad guy.
Go ahead and roar. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Praise Yah. Bless His holy name. Because we are refugees. So we need to know who our refuge is. It's not in our oppressors. It never has been, and it never will be. So you keep right on lying to yourself and each other. And keep being blind, can't see, and you can't hear nothing. Because you're rebellious and stubborn. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You got all the sense in the world. But it don't seem to be working for you. Seem to be working on you. You better get with Yah and get it with the plan and get codified. As a matter of fact, go to YahWillGather.us. Learn what rebuilding a nation is. Learn about being humble to the Most High is. Learn about not trusting your enemy's God that they present to you, who stole everything you got and mistreated you in any shape, form, or fashion, and yet you love them, but you hate what remotely looks like you. You got problems. You sick, and you need to get your mind right. As a matter of fact, we strongly advise you after the show, if you're thinking like that, ask the Most High tonight in prayer. Most High. That man, that king that wrote that song, that Katriel just read, please give me a heart like him. Why? Because you said, Yah, he was a man after your own heart, which suggests and infers and implies that's the kind of heart I need. Humble. Listening. Follow example, coming to him because he's my rock and strength, not which way did the white folk go. Therein I can get the solution. Okay? Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Yah, Sue?
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not in a coma and you're not my doctor because you probably throw the medicine upside my head. I mean, boy, you should have taken this medicine. Yeah, man. Be patient, man. We in a comatose bed trying to get up out of it. And you throwing a medicine bottle hitting us in the head saying she take it every morning. But
See Katria is
and yeah, they kind of smooth doctors. They let you know what's wrong with you, and then they tell you the medicine to take.
I'm telling
you, in this chapter that we read about King David, he says, he kind of like you, he says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Yah is a refuge for us. That's smooth medicine, man. That's smooth medicine. So you can swallow that, right?
That's easy
to swallow.
Yeah,
that's easy to swallow.
See, Katria is the first line of doctrine. See, he's that guy's going through you when you're traumatized and you're laying and you're really in an ICU. I'm that doctor you come to when you try to malinger, but I know you're faking the funk. See, I'm that doctor help you with your rehabilitation. I know when you're lagging. I know when you're malingering. See, you got two forms of doctors here. You have Katria. He's that guy real patient with you. He give you all the medicine, all the encouragement, all the doctrine you need. But you're going to come to me. And when you come to me and you laying up there, can't see because you don't want to see, can't hear because you don't want to hear, and malingering, Yom Suf got something for you. And you better believe it. Great shot. Yeah. All right, y'all. Katria, Sister Hoodie, Sister Abby, y'all. Praise the Most High. Do you have any last and closing remarks?
All I say is praise y'all. Stay prayed up and shalom and good night.
Yeah, Sister Hoodie said something earlier. They don't arrest the gun seller. They don't arrest the gun maker. And in the 60s, when we were growing up, we didn't have all these guns in our hood. But then they had the war on drugs, where they brought drugs in our hood, guns in our hood, and the character of our neighborhoods changed. Yes. And you touched on something that people don't really look at. But they declared war on us when they declared war on drugs. It started flooding our neighborhood with the Smith and Wesson. And I used to ask the question, where are these guns coming from? Because we don't have gunshots in our neighborhood, but everybody got a gun. And you see, people got laws, like you said, Second Amendment, they're going to protect that more than anything else. They got more guns in America than people. So we know the daughter of Babylon is way more dangerous than the ancient Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, and any other people that conquered us combined. And they don't like us as much as those ancient nations. So these prayers that King David left behind for us, to find out what our shield, what our protection, what our rock, what our high tower, more importantly, what our salvation is, pay serious attention to the words of our King, King David. Praise y'all.
Praise y'all. Gotcha. Thank you very much, brother. And thank you very much, Mr. Abia. And thank you very much, Rudy. And thank you very much, listeners, that who are humble enough to come to our humility with these study sessions. And Cartrell, right? Cartrell is so right in regards to humility and patience with one another, because as Sister Abigail says, we have to sometimes see ourselves and other people and see what we took people through in order to help facilitate the patience and humility to help other people. And sometimes, as King Solomon said, there's time and place for everything under the sun. And sometimes you have to help people and so that they're malingering, and they can do something to initiate some change. And what part you playing it? Just laying in the bed, pretending not seeing and not hearing, it simply won't suffice. It's not good enough. You have to ask yourself in relationship with the Most High, time and place for everything, what part did I play? What did I do? Could I have done something better? Could I have said something better? And so on and so forth. So that's why we strongly advise you to get your new heart, like King Darwin, to know there's a time and place for everything under the sun. Everything. That being said, everybody plays the fool sometimes. So stop playing the fool all the time. Stop leaning to your own understanding all the time. Stop mistreating, abusing, and dominating and killing your folks all the time. The question I have to all of us, what part do we play? May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Shalom, good night.
Love y'all, family. The Most High blessing be with us. Shalom. See y'all tomorrow. Well, that's all.
Thank you, Gautrell. Thanks, Sister Yehudi. Thank you, Abia. Shalom and good night.
About time? Well, before you do anything rash, dig this.